Blog Talk Radio.
In the dead of night, when thy wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being, in the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled by the castle's fire, in the dead of night, when all is dark, where shall we be with thee tonight?
Thanks, Shadow. Four forward, drift into the right a little. 30 seconds forward. We copy you down, Eagle. The Eagle has landed.
Good evening, everyone from around the world. Welcome to Night Talk Live with Colin Knight. The following information is presented for entertainment and information purposes only. Although Night Talk Radio takes all precautions to bring you quality information, Night Talk Radio is merely the purveyor of that information, and you, the audience, shall be the judge of such information. We remind you, Katie and Emtor, tonight, live with Colin Knight, Belinda Bentley, sex psychic to the stars, taking your call. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to a Thursday edition of Night Talk Radio Live. I am your host, Colin Knight. Tonight, I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming back to the show Belinda Bentley, sex psychic to the stars, here hopefully to help some of you through difficult paranormal experiences and, of course, to tap into those special spirits who can assist and advise on your love life. Phone lines will be opened periodically throughout the hour, and we do invite your calls with questions or experiences. Belinda Bentley, sex psychic to the stars, next
on Night Talk Radio Live. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Almost get pulled into the music as we start tonight. What a great night to be on the air. Belinda Bentley is back with us. So we hope you have your speed dials ready. 347-324-3287. If you wish to check out the blog while listening, of course, nighttalkradio.blogspot.com. Shout outs to HZ from Plenty of Fish, BC Dreamcatcher, and of course, Southeast Bricky's Much Better Half, and the Scottish Lass, who continues to heal her wings, as well as a special listener who thinks her father is an alien. Tonight, we have listeners from North America, as well as Brazil, Europe, and two live listeners out of Russia. Welcome aboard, guys. To our listeners in Europe, tonight's guest, Belinda Bentley. Her site can be located belindabentley.co.uk. And in North and South America, of course, belindabentley.com. For our Russian listeners, Dasvidanya, well, we have no idea how you connect, but we're glad you do. Try belindabentley.com site, I guess, would be the answer. belindabentley.com. There's also links probably on Night Talk Radio Blogspot, so head over there. And our guest tonight has been a professional psychic for over 11 years, encountering a lot of cases, problems, coming up with some amazing solutions. Reading of advice and guidance for a person, to me, is absolutely vital. It, as Linda, as Belinda would tell you, that it's a desire in life. So, extracting details about the past and present and future, and they're helping the spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental areas of life to become balanced is a very difficult part. But we have with us tonight Belinda Bentley. who hopefully has the answer. Belinda, good evening. Welcome to Night Talk.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. I enjoy every time you come here. You always give our listeners complete wellness. I like the way you balance balance yourself and others. I appreciate that. So the right place tonight is indeed the shadows, and here you are, and it's great for you to be here. Before we get into the flesh of the show, how are you doing? How's the family?
Oh, doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Gotta love it when that happens, eh? I gotta tell you, Belinda, as soon as we began promoting the show, I got all kinds of wacky and strange email questions on Twitter, so I hope we get to some of those tonight. The first one was sex psychic. What's it all about, Alfie? Like, what is a sex psychic?
Oh, what is a sex psychic? Well, a sex psychic is a psychic who deals with sex, and I deal with every other area as well, career, love, health, but I specialize in being a sex psychic simply because nobody else does. And so I deal with spectrophilia, which you may have seen me on Travel Channel. It's called Ghostly Lovers. And spectrophilia is people who have sex with spirits. And I also deal with people who feel like they, you know, they've been attacked sexually by spirits, or if you have sex problems with your mate. So, or you're single and you're just not getting any. Whatever issues you have in sex, I like to deal with.
And that is because when you are in that frame of mind, you are giving off an energy. Is that the energy that you actually tap into? Is that the guts of it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And that energy comes to you in a fairly strong manner. In other words, it wouldn't just be your urges. It would be the urges from an outside force. You could sense that.
I don't know if it comes from an outside source per se. Just because I feel like psychic ability is usually an inner thing and connecting with people. Sometimes telepathically, because I really do believe that we already know what our futures are because we've, you know, decided it moment by moment, whether we're punishing ourselves and something bad is happening or we're allowing something good to happen to us. So usually I'm picking up the information from the other person. And sometimes it comes from spirit. It comes from a totally different place. So either way, I'm going to call it an inner energy.
I think it's an inner energy. I'm just trying to understand how it affects you, how you feel it, if you will, when you see
sometimes
that energy.
Sometimes I feel it. Yeah, sometimes I feel it. So it's just a feeling. And there's other times where I can see it very clearly. There's other times where I'll hear, sometimes in my client's voice, what's going to happen in their future. And I swore they told me, and they're like, I didn't say anything. It just comes to me on every different level.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked that question of a number of our guests, David Baker and Paul Dale Roberts, the psychic investigator. He's absolutely brilliant. And I continue to ask that question because when would a person know if they have the gift? Is it just a gut instinct that's stronger than most? Or do you understand where I'm going with this, Linda?
Yeah, I believe that everyone has psychic ability. I believe that it literally is our sixth sense. Everybody has it. It's a built-in protector, if you will. It's supposed to warn us if something bad's going to happen and tell us when something good's going to happen, so we'll know where to be and when to be there. They always say the right time, right place, right time. I definitely feel like everybody has it. But just like, you know, pretty much everybody can do math, but not everybody's going to be a mathematician. So everybody can be a psychic, but not everybody's supposed to have this really great ability to be able to help other people. If everybody was psychic in the world, we wouldn't have lawyers, we wouldn't have doctors, you know. So there are a select few of us who do have a gift to actually be able to help other people with it instead of just ourselves.
Well, let me ask you this. When you're out in a social setting and, you're enjoying the libations of life, do you ever get those cross currents, those different spirits at the same time trying to manipulate your being, if you will?
You know, no. I used to have a problem of spirits trying to get in or messages trying to get in when I'm kind of like in a social setting, but I've learned how to turn it off. And so I don't really get anything if I don't want to get it. And there are sometimes I'll get a really strong feeling I have a message for one specific person. And, you know, I'll be at a party or somewhere and I'll be like, okay, I know this person is going to come over here. We're going to strike up a conversation. They're going to ask me what I do. I'm going to say a psychic. And they're like, oh, do you get anything from me? And I'm going to be like, as a matter of fact, yes. So I play out the whole thing in my mind because I never give anybody information that they don't want. So if you don't ask me for a psychic reading, I don't volunteer it. But that's the only time I really get information in a large group or social setting.
Well, let me ask you this, and you are on the air, and you can dodge the question if you want, but you and I know each other well enough. You've never dodged a question I've asked. So the question I ask is this. Have you ever found it to be an advantage in a business social setting?
I'm sure I have. Because I use my psychic ability in every area of my life, but I can't think of one time where I'm like, oh, I'm going to use my psychic ability to do this, this, or that. So,
yeah.
In addition to being a psychic, I'm also an everyday normal person as well. So I can't think of any time specifically, though.
So producers, directors, writers out there, be warned. Belinda Bentley is the real thing. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, and sometimes, Belinda, you scare me because I ask a question hoping you'll jump off the precipice because it makes good ratings. But you always give me that answer that is logical, is fair, is common man understanding. I think that's what I like about what you do and where you go with it the most is the common understanding. Human beings have a common thread, sexuality. And whether it's now or in the spiritual world, that connection is probably one of the most powerful connections a human being would ever experience, other than the power of God, if you believe in God.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this. What's the craziest question? This comes from one of our Twitter feeds. He doesn't want his name answered, but what's the craziest question you have been asked on radio or TV?
The craziest question I've ever been asked?
Yeah. What really just like this way out there?
You know, after 11 years of being a professional psychic, I honestly couldn't even tell you if I think any of them has really been crazy.
Really?
Because I think I'm kind of far out there too. There's honestly none I can even think of that are far off enough to be entertaining at all. I'm sure there are, but I've been asked so many questions.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that director's cut and find it. I'm going to find that crazy question.
You know, the only thing I can even—it's really funny because you said there was a shout out to a woman who thinks her father is an alien, and I would probably say one of the strangest questions I've gotten is probably along that line. Do you think this person's an alien, or you know, do you pick up that this person is reptilian? And I'm like, this is really interesting question. I don't know how to connect to the alien race yet, so I don't know.
Right. I threw that startup and on the shout out because this young lady actually sent me an email and spent three quarters of the email convincing me that her father was an alien, and then she says, "But after all, he is my father." So I had to kind of put that in at the beginning because the young lady was, I think she's 14 years old. So it was a brilliant little email. I loved every bit of it. But let me ask you this. It was great. Let me ask you this. Do spirits continue having sex in the spiritual world?
Yes, they do. Basically, with the human race, they do. I'm not quite sure how they do it on the spiritual level, except for just, you know, it's so easy to connect one energy to another energy. And that's probably why as a psychic, sometimes it's hard to be to connect with the spiritual world and do the mediumship, because sometimes you can have two or three spirits and all of them are interlinked. And you're like, okay, I need to separate you. You stand there, you stand there, you stand there. because they can intertwine so easily. So I think it's mostly that they continue having... I wouldn't necessarily call it one big orgy. No, they do that on the physical plane. They do that with us.
Right.
So that's the information that I get. That it stays here with us because we wouldn't necessarily consider it the same thing on the other side.
Right, yeah. On the other side, it may be considered a normal part of existence. Who knows?
A normal, everyday part. Exactly.
Yeah. Or they may be, you know, very devout, religious, and it's not allowed at all. No, that would be hell. Anyway.
It would be, wouldn't it?
It would be just, huh? But when you make these connections, are they mostly loved ones that have passed over, or are they more strangers than people who know each other?
What do you mean?
Well,
when I'm doing a reading for somebody, spirits come through?
Yeah, if a spirit is there while two people are making love.
Oh, when the spirit is
right
there.
Now,
usually
now,
a complete stranger.
It's usually a complete stranger.
Usually a complete stranger. I have had cases where it's like I'll start talking about the person that's there, and it's like, oh, that was a cousin of mine, you know, or that was blah, you know, in my family. But it's generally somebody who's either a resident of the house, a resident spirit, or somebody passing through that decided they wanted to stop and watch the show. So,
Interesting. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a call from Eric. He's listening tentatively since the beginning of the show, and I appreciate it, Eric. We kind of got off track a little bit there. He has a question, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to our pal Eric and see what Eric has to say.
Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. The following information is presented for entertainment and information purposes only. Although Night Talk Radio takes all precautions to bring you quality information, Night Talk Radio is merely the purveyor of that information, and you, the audience, shall be the judge of such information. We remind you, KPNM Tor. Looking for more information on our guest? Check out Night Talk Blog at nighttalkradio.blogspot.com. Keep up with the paranormal happenings around the world with CosmicConspiracies.com or read information from our featured writers. Check out the latest HPI stories with Paul Dale Roberts or latest space and tech news. All on Night Talk Blog at nighttalkradio.blogspot.com. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Do you have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in areas of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shift and the paranormal. What goes bump in the night?
Those listeners listening to Night Talk Live by Archive, we do remind you that you can still make contact with the show. Send us an email, terrachats2012@gmail.com, or contact our 24-hour paranormal line at 240-696-6030 and leave your message. If you have had a paranormal experience and want to tell someone about it, if you'd like to come on air live, 347-324-3287, or hit our paranormal 24-hour hotline at 240-696-6030, or drop us an email, terrachat2012@gmail.com. This is Night Talk Radio Live with Colin Knight. Tonight, Belinda Bentley. Sex Psychic to the Stars. Text. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And very rarely do we announce this on the air, but we are being Twittered to death. Belinda always conjures up a great deal of interest on the internet. And Belinda, we do appreciate you being here tonight, my dear. And you always know I always throw some curveball questions at you to make sure that you are who you are, because you're the real deal, girl.
Thank you.
No, really, you did. It's a pleasure, because it takes away that... that silliness of denial, and you can move on to the realities of life. And we all need to balance our chakras, and this is
yeah.
one heck of a way of doing it.
Isn't it? It's a great way
it
of
is.
Doing it.
Now, I have a caller on the line. It's Eric. He's been listening since the beginning of the show, Belinda. So, Eric, good evening, and welcome to Night Talk. You have a question for Belinda.
Yes. Yes, thank you very much for like, taking my call. I wanted to ask what you if I will ever get in the sack, so to speak, with an ex-girlfriend who I'm actually talking to right now, but we've never been in bed together, and I would very much like that to happen.
Okay, what a great question. I'll put you on hold, Eric, and you can listen to the answer. Belinda, so what do you think? Is Eric ever going to get in the sack with his girlfriend who he's chatting with right now?
I'm going to be honest and say, unfortunately, I can't say the end-all, be-all, so it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen, but the first thing I got when he asked the question was no. That she's not ready, it's not time, and I feel like there's a really good possibility that he or she could move on before that even ever happens, but like I said, I can't see the end-all be-all, so it could be really far into the future, just a place that I can't see, but I'm not going to say any time in the future this is going to happen. I'm right now I'm saying no.
Right. So this is an energy you receive from Eric and through him, the determination, the energy that you feel or the images you receive. Sometimes
yeah, like,
they
basically, if you can think of it as like an electric eel sending out a shock of electricity. When two people connect, when two people get to know each other or have something in common, they share that connection and then that's sent to me. So it's like I'm reading electromagnetic energy, if you wanted to say that, or I'm reading electricity that's going on. And hers was very clearly one of kind of like, stay away from me, don't touch me. There's something going on with her where it feels like she's not ready, whereas he is. And it's not that they don't have an attraction. It's not that she doesn't like him. It's something that's just going on with her that needs to be respected at this time. And I feel like he is trying to respect it, but doesn't necessarily understand it. So...
Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do, Belinda, just for the kick of it, and just to send everybody around here in a tailspin. I'm going to open the phone line back to Eric. Eric, I hope you're ready for me, because I'm sure you may want to fill in some gaps that haven't been filled in for you. So, Eric, your phone line is open back with Belinda. Did you have any follow-up on that?
Well, do you see if... things may not happen with her, and if she moves on, do you see somebody else for me where we'll have that magnetism maybe this year, hopefully?
I was actually going to say this year, the end of the year. So you probably have, what are we in the, we're getting ready to be in the fifth month. So you have probably about five to six months. I would say sometime in either the autumn or the winter. It's confusing to me, right? Because it gets cold in October, but October isn't winter, is it? Like November, December, January is winter. So I'm going to say autumn or winter. Time this other person will come in, this other female will come in. Hello, are you there? Hello?
There we go. I just about lost full connection there. So I apologize for that, Belinda, if I left you hanging with nobody there.
Yeah, you're back. I can hear you now. Great.
Okay, sorry. I apologize about that. Something hit the system. We, believe it or not, we've had beautiful weather here in Calgary for the last few days, almost like spring. And then tonight they forecasted a heavy snowfall, and the temperature started to plummet. It is currently 7 degrees Celsius, going down to minus 2 tonight. And the winds are blowing, and snow is accumulating. So it looks like we're going to get hit again for the weekend. So the power may be bouncing around a little bit here. Up here in Canada, you know, those elk and those deer just don't pull those boats as fast as they used to. So, so I do apologize if we have that. So with Eric, you see something by the end of the year. And, you know, he has to get in touch with his own chakra again. He has to come to terms with where he's at. Am I reading that correctly?
I think he more needs to come to terms with where she's at, because I feel like it's more something on her side, not his. And, you know, sometimes we learn a lot about ourselves simply by how we react to others. And I feel like his reaction to her or how he's being patient with her is definitely giving him something to learn about himself. So I do think it's a good situation as far as that goes. But there's somebody new coming in before the end of the year for him.
All righty. Well, I have a lady from California on the line, and her name is Anne. Anne, good evening. You're on the line with Belinda. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, Belinda. Belinda.
Hi.
My phone call. I have a question. My first question, I don't know if I should have hopes for a gentleman that we became friends in the last 3-4 months, and now I just don't get to see him much. And if not him, anyone else that is for me for a relationship before the end of the year, I can describe him. He is tall.
No, you don't have to describe him. I really feel like this one you just have to be patient with. I feel like something can come out of this. It's just not going to necessarily be soon. Wait a couple more months before you make any decisions about moving on or finding somebody else, because it does feel like there's a really great connection there. It just feels like the timing, I'm not going to say it's a little off. I was going to say it's off, but it's actually perfect timing. You just have to be patient.
Interesting.
Things are growing and expanding, and they need to happen the way they're happening. And if you try to force it, nothing good's going to come out of it.
Let me tell you, we had a great connection in February, probably March and April. Then something happened. He backed off, and he even doesn't talk to me at this time. We don't get to see each other. So that's what I was not sure. It's been like 3-4 weeks that there's no communication, no connection, and I was trying to call and talk to his friends, and he even didn't return my phone call. So that's what makes me kind of confused. I don't know. Maybe he lost interest.
No, I don't feel like he lost interest. I feel like there's something that's going on with him and something that he's dealing with, and you just have to let him deal with it. You know, it's very difficult when people go through a hard time and they don't really know the person that they're getting to know, but they don't know him well enough to kind of share in that. They usually disappear for a while. Before they confess what was going on. Could be an ex-girlfriend, could be family issues, but just hold on before you make any decisions. Nobody else is coming into your life right away anyway.
It could be a mess up on the male's chakra. He could be looking for the wrong message. They just may not be in sync. As you were saying at the beginning of the show, they just may not have that strong connection that can get them through these times, whatever he's going through. Because obviously, Anne sounds very, very balanced. And I've already fallen in love with her accent. So I don't, you know, I just don't get it with men sometimes, Melinda. We are the one out of balance, not them. And it's difficult for men to get their head around that sometimes.
It is, but women have just the same issues that men have. They just come out very differently. And, yeah. And, you know, a lot of women run away or they push somebody away. I mean, they do the exact same things. I've seen them work on both sides. But what I understand about it being a psychic is that I've had an opportunity to see why people do it. And a lot of times it makes a lot of sense why they're doing it. And the one thing that I've learned about relationships and being a sex psychic and watching this is this. If somebody decides that they're going to pull away a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, I usually notice, on the other hand, the person is not willing to let go or understand what the other person is going through, and they're very selfish. And when I see that, I notice why the other person pulls away instead of confiding in them. It's like right. You can see that there's an issue or a problem. So if one person is going through something and the other person is selfish, it's not really going to be a great match. And so that's the one thing that I've learned is sometimes people pull away for a reason. It's not always just because they're, you know, they can't deal with their emotions. Sometimes they're feeling an emotion where it feels like, you know, I shouldn't really talk to this person right now.
Or coming from a cold man's point of view, they got what they wanted and they need to move on.
Sometimes. But and that's usually actually not the case as much as something else. Men are very, very intuitive. And they get it. And they know when a woman is trying to use them for something. They know when a woman wants more than what they're willing to give. I mean, men actually are very intuitive and generally know what they want. And sometimes, they are just using them for whatever. But I've just noticed that they can be very sensitive as well.
Yeah, and men can do the same thing. I mean, it does go both ways. I agree with
you.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult. It's difficult to find that balance, as you call it, that, you know, that triangle balance. It's hard to put everything into place, so it's all working the way God intended, if you will, the way our innate natural being was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And given that, with the spirit world, now we are talking of this world between earth and heaven, if you will, before they transcend to the light. There's that spirit world where they are still on this earth, but just not in solid form.
Well, from what they tell me on the other side, heaven would be a place on earth. It wouldn't necessarily be a place that you transcend to because everything is here. Almost like on an energy grid. So just different frequency.
In thinking terms, as you move to that plane, between that, from Earth to that plane, there is that area where the paranormal are manifesting, basically.
Yeah, you can call it that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how I can kind of get my head around it. And these people basically are still holding on to the fact of life. Yet they are a pure spirit as opposed to a solid form as our vibration knows it.
Well, you said that's the only way you can wrap your head around it. So another way to explain it would be just like a radio. You know that there's many different towers with many different frequencies, and if you change the station, you're going to be picking up on a different frequency. And my favorite the way to explain it is, you know, when you're tuning into a radio station, but two radio stations are coming in overlapping each other at the same time. And that's usually what we're experiencing in the physical and the spiritual world, is that we can tune in, just like a radio, to one of many frequencies. And whatever your frequency is what you attract. So if your frequency is a 102.5, then that's what you attract to you. And some of us, we have two that collide, two frequencies, and that's what we experience.
So what you are telling me is that you are a sexual signal receiver.
Basically, yes.
And those signals are given off the person you are communicating with, and that person can almost could almost relay those feelings from the other person, that, like Eric talked about his girlfriend, Now, you felt those feelings through Eric because of his connection to her, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And I say it as if it's Psychic 101, but there's a lot of people out there that are just coming to terms with the fact that something is stronger than they believed it to be. Gut instincts, for instance. My father was a gut instinct person, and he was very, very, very rarely wrong in the long term and in the short term. And maybe he had the gift.
Interesting. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I believe in, when I call it gut instinct, I'm sure that is part of the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
And people need to cultivate that. They need to believe in those, whatever those moral guidances that people have tried to instill in them, right?
Well, and my guys have told me for years, language ruined a lot of things. That before there was language, there was truth. And our feelings, how we feel, those electromagnetic fields that we send out, the electricity that we send out from our hearts, from our minds. And when another person got that feeling, they knew exactly what we felt, exactly what was going on. But with language, we could lie. It gave us a reason not to necessarily be psychic anymore or use telepathy. And so language really allowed people to tell lies for the first time, which I thought was really interesting when my guides started explaining what language really did to us.
And isn't that the truth? Because you would no longer rely on those other instincts. You would believe in the word, as they say.
Exactly. That's why when people write a book, they all of a sudden become experts, whether they know what they're talking about or not.
Right. Right. So let me get this straight. The signals that I receive when I go into a social setting, I think I could go to jail for some of them, because a lot of people seem to give off some very angry, negative, protectionist type of atmosphere around them. Is this the spirits that are around them that are kind of reflecting off them, or how does that work?
No, when people send, we have energy just like spirits, and we have it on the inside of us, we have it on the outside of us. So usually when you're picking up on something from somebody, it's their energy. Unless they're possessed or they've opened a door and they're kind of holding on to energy within their energy, you're usually picking up on somebody else's anger. And people have plenty of reasons to be angry on this planet, just like plenty of people have reasons to be happy. Really bad or depressing areas of your life, that's what you're going to attract. That's what you're going to feel. Some people are being abused and they're tired of it, or, hate their jobs or whatever that is. And then there's other people who are in love, and that's what they're radiating out. But you can usually expect when you feel something off of somebody, it's generally them.
Well, if you are, let's just assume or presume that a person comes to you for a reading, and you sense the fact that there is no sexual energy left in this person, or this person just does not accept that sexual side of their being. How do you reconcile that in a reading?
You just tell them what you see, and you can see if it's really important to see if somebody's open or ready to heal that or to open it back up. Because sometimes when a person's sexual energy is cut off, I call it the closed door. It's closed off. Sometimes there's a reason for it, and it needs to be that way for a while. There's people who have, especially cases of like rape. When you have a case or have a scenario like that, and that's what the person is attracting, they need to cut it off until they can completely heal from it before they open it back up to keep themselves safe. So a lot of times I really have to dig in and see what's best for the person before I give them any kind of advice.
Yeah, yeah. Because it would seem to me that there are a lot of non-sexual beings out there in this world, or at least appear so. We used to call them stuck up, but now it appears that there's more to it than that. And it makes for a lot of repression. I have noticed in social gatherings, the peacock dance, if you will. And these people attempting to make more than just a physical connection, but nothing really being there. You know, you can just sense that there's just no magic working between them. And they seem to still do this peacock dance, and I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think the peacock dance is very important because it's the mating dance. It's what you do to attract the other person. So in a way, that's our instinct. It's just what we do, whether we have our sexual energy flowing through us or not at the particular time. And some people do. They want a connection and they want to be held. If you really think about it, in our society, it's not really okay to hug and kiss and cuddle and hold unless you're having sex with someone. So a lot of times that's what a person actually needs, not the sex. And so they're kind of doing that mating dance going, do I really want a partner? No, I don't want a partner. I just want to be held and you know, be able to cry in somebody's arms, but that's not okay. So then you have this polarity of, you know, what do? There is no in-between in our society, unfortunately.
Right. And you would sense those sensual or sexual tensions. You would sense those coming, emanating from the person that you would be giving the reading for.
I could. Sometimes they don't even know that what's going on. And I'm like, you know, this is really what you need. This is what you need to experience. This is how you've been feeling. And this is how it plays out in your life. And they'll be like, that's right. That's exactly what I'm feeling. I didn't understand that that's how it played out. So a lot of times I actually bring people to awareness so that they can maybe find another alternative to what they need.
Yeah, and a lot of times it takes a shock to the system to realize that there is something much more out there than just a financially, social, comfortable position. That there is much more to life than just, cruising to the finish line, because that's just no fun at all. We have one of our chatters down in the virtual studio, Amethyst, has asked a really great question. Absolutely amazing. She says, I'm single. I'm wanting a relationship. Is it possible to have a ghostly lover, or should one keep focusing on manifesting a real man?
A real man. That's funny. I don't know why a spirit wouldn't be considered a real man if we're talking about reality. Both exist on our reality plane. I think it could be really important to have both. So, you know, what I would do is manifest the perfect mate for now, you know, for whatever I need for now, and see how that comes in. It could be a physical human being that comes in. It could be a ghostly lover that comes in. I think it's just important to stay open to what it is that you need and who's going to fulfill that need for you.
And, of course, one of our Twitter friends immediately typed in as you were speaking there, Belinda, and wanted to know, is it possible to have a menage a trois with a spirit?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's plenty of people who've had those experiences where they feel like there's more than one spirit there. Usually spirits are very territorial is what I've noticed. And so when they're like, you know, this is my house, my home, my woman, you know, type thing. So
yeah.
I think it's very rare, but I believe that it can happen.
Now let's just extrapolate this a little bit. Would it be like the spirit would be watching a porn movie, a 3D porn movie, or would it just be a total emotion between the spirit and the human being?
I wouldn't necessarily call it an emotion as much as just a feeling, but you know, they don't have this. How do I explain this one? For spirit, it's not the exact same connection. If you think about a spirit in the real world, a person in the real world who had dominance issues, it was somebody who loved to be dominant, then they're going to want to come in and still be dominant, which usually is sexual in nature. Then you may have another spirit who's just in love and wants to have that connection. So when they're literally becoming one with a human being, it becomes very sexual for the person who's still living, where it may not be considered sexual for the spirit. They just merge with the physical presence that was there. So... There's a lot of different feelings that would come with it, and different reasons why spirits would do it.
So that could possibly account for certain stages of intimacy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That would make a lot of sense in the human being, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I mean, when we go over to the other side, we're generally still who we are. I think some of us walk away with a little bit more awareness than the next person when we pass away, but some people are still stubborn or still have the same issues or the same problems as they did before, and they're working through it. And I've noticed that with a lot of spirits.
Yeah. It would seem to me that you wouldn't suddenly be totally divine and all-knowing in that spirit world before moving into the light. There, you would still have that confusion of life, wouldn't you? It would still be in your mind. You know, it'd still be in your spirit.
Yeah, it's still in your spirit. It's just, you know, a wave of energy of who you really are. If you had a sense of humor before, you're still going to have one.
Right.
You know, if you were stubborn before, you usually are still going to be. I mean, I've actually talked to spirits for years, the same spirit. And I would watch how they change, just like a regular human being if you had a friend. So, they'd come over to the other side and connect with somebody, and they would sometimes just be so rude or, you know, not the nicest person in the world. And then later on they come through, and it's like they disappear for a while. I don't know if they're going to school or gaining some kind of awareness. They come back, there's a bit of difference in their attitude where they're not so hard. They're a bit more loving and open. So I've seen them actually go through the experience.
So do you think that may be a continued learning curve, if you will, in this spirit world? They are still maturing. Is that the best method?
I would definitely say so. Because if you think about, you know, you come from this planet, you're having this planet's experiences, and then you become a being who is a part of everything. You have all these other planets' experiences, and if there's life on other planets, which I'm sure there are, with how many billions of galaxies there are, then you have to learn those experiences as well. You literally become one with everything. So there's a lot to learn once you cross over, because you then become a part of everything, or at least become aware of it.
Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense. A great deal of sense indeed. We're going to take a quick break just so that everybody can refresh their glasses and kick back. Belinda, I'd like to carry on for 30 minutes from the top of the hour and take you the full 90, if you don't mind tonight.
Sure.
Okay, hang in there, girl. We'll be right back with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Belinda Bentley, belindabentley.com, probably one of the most impressive sex psychics I've ever met. I think it's the only sex psychic I've met.
The following information is presented for entertainment and information purposes only. Although Night Talk Radio takes all precautions to bring you quality information, Night Talk Radio is merely the purveyor of that information, and you, the audience, shall be the judge of such information. We remind you, JB and MTOR, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Do you have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in the area of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shift and the paranormal. What goes bump in the night?
There's not much question at all what there's life throughout the universe. We're not alone in the universe at all. No, for sure we're not.
Tonight, live with Colin Knight, Belinda Bentley, sex psychic to the stars, taking your calls. 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. We 347-324-3287. For those listeners listening to Night Talk Live by Archive, we do remind you that you can still make contact with the show. Send us an email, terrachats2012@gmail.com, or contact our 24-hour paranormal line at 240-696-6030 and leave your message. You're listening to Night Talk Live, your host, Colin Knight.
You know, sometimes shameless advertisement help. But the reason we do that, guys, is so everybody can take a break and shake it loose, kick it back, and relax back in for a little bit more time. I've asked Belinda to stay with us a little later tonight, and we'll go 30 past the top of the hour for all those stations down the line that are in mad panic trying to re-scramble everything or take us out there, one of the two. So, Belinda Bentley, sex psychic to the stars, I have a question coming in from our Twitter account. Do spirits get aroused as we probably would in the spirit world, as we think we would in the spirit world? Do they get aroused the same way?
No, not from what I've experienced, heard, talked about with the other side. You know, if a woman was walking around naked, or, you know, a guy, you know, really ripped and perfect abs, a spirit isn't necessarily going to get aroused and happy and excited, because our arousal literally is a pumping of the blood and you know, our bodies heat up. So it's definitely not the same. They're usually connected to somebody that they want to become one with. They just have a connection with the spirit, and they don't see us the same way that we see ourselves in the mirror, or the same way we'd see somebody else. We see flesh, we see skin. They can still see our energy, the same energy that they'll see when we pass away. So that's usually what they're more attracted to and just wanting to connect with.
So they are not seeing the 21-year-old girl they left behind in, you know, 1970. They're not still seeing that. They're sensing the energy of that person.
Yeah, they can still see your spirit, because your spirit doesn't necessarily fully fit into your body. There's still some hanging out. That's why we have an aura. We have energy around us. That's our energy. And so they can still see what we really look like in true spirit, not just the physical clothes that we're wearing until we pass away and change our clothes.
Gotcha. I'm just trying to manifest myself looking back to mankind after becoming a spirit, how they would sense what we are as a species. You know, that would they get, I'm wondering if they would get some more wisdom from knowing what they see back on the human planet, you know?
Yeah.
I think that'd be an interesting perspective for somebody to write a book on, or do a movie, or even try and figure out, you know, it comes from a sick or warped mind, because that would be a strange look at mankind.
It would be a very strange look at mankind.
You know, you'd see all the good, the bad, and definitely the ugly. To me, that would be a revelation in itself, I would think. Might scare the hell out of you, too.
I don't know. If, you know, the idea of hell doesn't scare people. I don't know why looking at the human force would be scary, because I think it's way scarier than they ever depicted hell to be sometimes. So, I don't know.
Well, hell has been many things in my conjure-up as I've grown up. You know, I remember at 13 years old, hell was when I had to get up for school in the morning.
You know? It was for me, too.
That was the ultimate, you know. And now, you know, after having a few years on this planet, my hell scale has most definitely gone up. And maybe that's why I'm thinking, does the spirit mature while it's in that zone before they actually move on into the light, if you will?
Well, I feel like the spirit is always maturing. I don't think there's ever a date of maturity. I don't feel like they go into the light and all of a sudden they're matured. I feel like there's many different planets to experience and many different levels of energy and frequencies to experience. And so there's always a level of maturing. If you can kind of think of, if you live forever on this planet, could you learn everything that there was possible to learn? Could you learn the name of every star in our sky? Could you name every tree on our planet, every animal on our planet, every animal in the ocean? Probably not. There would be billions of years worth of education. So if you can imagine how long it would take a spirit to actually start learning the same thing.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely. So you believe in the
forever.
You believe in the Einstein theory of dimensions.
Yes, I do. And I didn't for a long time. I have to tell you, I was a skeptic. People would come to me and talk about there's another dimension, you know, there's realms, and I would think these people out of their minds. I mean, I really just thought other psychics were crazy. I thought people who talked to me about this stuff was crazy. And then as I started to see energy and talk to these spirits, they were like, you have different frequencies and different dimensions here now. And they would show me, you know, how I could see this in my own physical world. And, you know, every time I plug in something to an electrical socket, you know, what energy is this coming from? Is this coming from the physical world or another side? And so as they were showing me little, you know, wind and different things that aren't necessarily, I guess, what we would consider necessarily our physical, you know, what we see is what we get, I started understanding that there was so much more that we didn't see, that we didn't know. And you have to remember, we also only use 10% of our brains. If we could use 100% of our brains, what would we see? What would we feel? What would we taste? What would we experience that we can't experience with only 10%? It's 90% of the world that's missing right now. So I'm sure that there's other dimensions we would probably experience as well if we could use 100%.
So what do you think the reasoning behind a creator would be to keep that door locked on those abilities for everybody? Is this the next stage of mankind to unlock that door for the common man, or is it forever going to be locked and we have to search for the entrance? What do you think, Melinda?
You're talking about the other 90%?
Yeah, like how do you unlock that door and step in and be able to use what the creator has put there?
What
is our barrier?
I have pondered this question so many times because I think it's the one thing that I'm most interested in. Some people are interested in 2012, and I'm like, how do we unlock the DNA so we can use 100% of our brains? And I do feel like it's probably going to be more of a genetic thing where it's laboratory, you know, they start creating people in the laboratory. That's going to help us because I don't know if our human race, as it is, can procreate and have somebody use 100% of their brains. But I do see that becoming an evolution is where people will be using a lot more.
But you see it as more of a man-made evolution where we would manipulate ourselves to consume more of our intelligence.
I do. I think there's a way to go in scientifically and maybe change people who are already here and help them open up that aspect of it. But I feel like that's a way into the future. That's a ways.
Well, yeah, it all is possible. If we can think it, it can happen. And I'm sure there's some young student out there tonight at university that's hit onto the BTR button and is listening to us live. And he's going to be a chemist or a physicist or a something. And he'll unlock that door and allow us to use more of our brain. Because I am a firm believer that we can solve anything. We have the ability to resolve anything. And in doing so, we must have that intelligence to move forward as mankind. Now, I'm wondering, the strings of DNA that they can't account for, I'm just wondering if that is just sat there waiting as a startup file, so to speak.
That one, I don't know. That's a question that will probably be left unanswered for a while.
I guess we'll find out when it happens, right? I mean, that's...
You know, I think the most amazing thing about humans is that even if we don't use 100% of our brains, we will find something to do the exact same thing we would experience if we could use more of our brains. For instance, I believe that if we used 100% of our brains, we'd have night vision. That's something that I keep seeing. But instead, we have night vision goggles. We can't see certain things within different IR lights. But yet we have cameras that can take pictures and see within those lights. We know that we can't see little cells, but we've developed something to help us see those cells. Whereas I believe if we used 100% of our brains, we'd be able to use our eyes to see those. So even if we are lacking that, I do feel like our society, human beings, mankind, can definitely make something that would be like, okay, we're using more of our brains. Even though it's electronics that's doing it for us.
Good point. Good point. So we are intelligent enough to build what we would wish to be our brain. Do you think that in doing all of that, well, let me take a break. When I come back, basically what my question will be, Belinda, is do you think we have the capability of finding an artificial means to actually interplay with the spirit world? So I'll give you a few minutes to think about that one. We'll head for a break. And when we come back, we have another caller on the line. So hang in there, Belinda.
All right.
Belinda Bentley, Sex Psychic to the Stars. Definitely the real deal. And it's always a pleasure to have Belinda with us because I get to throw those difficult questions because there's enough softball questions out there, but let's get to the real hard facts. Belinda is the real deal, so the information is invaluable.
December 21st, 2012. Daybreak doesn't come. All remains dark. The world has come to an end.
Not much question at all, but there's life throughout the universe. We're not alone in the universe at all. No, for sure we're not.
Fly by the comets, visit asteroids, visit the moon of Mars. There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mavis, with John Hoag. The ancient Sumerian text, just in a very broad overview, basically tell us that these Anunnaki came from space and landed on the Earth in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. They began to set up a colony that they called Eden.
We go into chat rooms as Psyvamps. Really do go in there with a purpose, stir you up so that they can up the level of energy, you know, sometimes. And there are some that come in the room, and they are just negative people. That's all there is. And they don't understand that they're draining the room. But the Psyvamps themselves, yes, they actively seek out their prey.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mavis, with John Hoag, your host, Colin Knight. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Tonight's guest, Belinda Bentley, Sex Psychic to the Stars, taking your calls. The following information is presented for entertainment and information purposes only. Although Night Talk Radio takes all precautions to bring you quality information, Night Talk Radio is merely the purveyor of that information, and you, the audience, shall be the judge of such information. We remind you, Katie and Emtor. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
I have to tell you that it's always a pleasure to do shows such as this, live with Belinda Bentley. And the reason being is we get to ask those questions that normally don't get asked or are a little too edgy. But, you know, we see it as we see it. We hear it as we hear it. And Belinda is always open to give an answer, whether diplomatically or straight, matter-of-fact, to the point. And Belinda, I do appreciate you're taking that course with us, because it's important that people understand that sexuality and sensuality have a great deal to do with balance.
Yeah, it has a great deal to do with balance. And like I always like to point out is that, you know, our sexual organs are in the middle of our bodies. It's there as a balance, and I think people should pay a lot more attention to that.
And given that, thinking of the spirit world itself, why do we have such great difficulty making that contact? Why is it such a fuzzy state of affairs? Why can't we have that connection? Why can't
our
we get
sexual
that
connection?
The connection in, as a whole, as a being, I think there's, you know, sexual connection is one definite, very strong passion, but the other, the intelligence, the interest, why is it so difficult for us to be able to tap into those energies?
Well, that's easy, because if you think about it, the bottom part of our body is the thing that keeps us stable. It's almost like the roots to trees. I mean, you have our sexuality in the middle, keeping us balanced, the weight in the middle. And then you have the rest of our body, which our heart beats electromagnetic energy. It's in a magnet. And then your brain is the same thing. It's actually connecting you to the other dimensions of the spiritual world. So when you look at the three different parts of our bodies and their jobs and what they do, you'll notice that in the middle, your sexual organs, basically, that's where your freedom lies. It's the freedom of choice. It's the freedom to procreate. It's also the freedom to keep your species going through having children. So in a way, we're taught to keep that power back, and so somebody else can take control, whether it be a president or a king, or, you know, it's been this way for how many years on our planet, where power is like the ultimate. And so when somebody comes into a place of power and tells you you have to do what I do and say what I say and you know, do what I tell you to do, it becomes, everything kind of shuts down, because you can't listen to that energy anymore. You can't procreate to keep your own cells alive and going through the physical string. And there's just so many things that shut down when somebody else tries to take control of you. You're no longer allowed to have control of yourself. So honestly, I believe that's the reason that we don't connect in the same way I think that we used to.
I think the difficulty of it all, to me, is why we haven't looked at the communication of the spirit world. And maybe we have, and we just are not aware of it. I know there was a couple of people in the late 1900s were playing with it, but I don't know if it ever came to anything. Do you think mankind will have that ability? Do you think we will be able to tap into that extra energy of ourselves?
You know, they've already come up with the spirit phone, where you can hear spirits on the other side. I think it was Alexander Graham Bell was working on a spirit phone before he died. It's been played with on so many levels. I mean, the government has even came out and said they had, you know, remote viewing and psychics that are in the government. So, you know, it's definitely something that's been played with, and our technology is getting huge, just amazing every single year, to the point where we can take pictures with our cell phones now, and they come out, you'll see actually more spirits in photos than you would if you were taking them, you know, with a regular camera. And for instance, I just had a dog die, and right after that happened, a friend of mine came over, and we kept hearing noises. And he was like, your house is haunted, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, upstairs is. And he was like, there's something down here. And I'm like, man, there's usually not anything down here. And he just had a feeling to take out his phone, snap a picture. He shows me the pictures, and there's literally three spirits in the picture. And one of them was down at the floor, and the white spot on my dog, it has the exact same white spot in this photo. And I was just thinking, you know, that's really amazing that camera phones can even snap way more than regular cameras could at some point. So when you see how technology is just exploding, you'll find that I don't think it'll take too much longer, maybe 10 years before they come up with something that'll allow us to experience. because when it finally happens, I think the government's going to be using it first if they're not already.
Right. Well, I have to say that the day that they come out with the machine from Demolition Man, where you can sit in the same room and not necessarily touch to have sex, is the day that I hope, life as I know it changes, because that's kind of weird. That would be a
it
little
is
freaky.
Weird. It's safer, but it's weird. And I think that would literally deteriorate us, is to not have physical contact anymore. I think that's what would kill us, if anything.
Yeah. And that has always been the question, hasn't it? People have always questioned that sooner or later man would just be sat there as a blob. His arms wouldn't work, his legs wouldn't work, because he wouldn't need to. And that,
yeah.
So we always, and we have to remember that the physical exertion is the coal that fires the boiler, really.
It's true. It is.
So given that, when you're doing a reading, do you sense their battery energy, if you will? Do you sense if they've been drained of something, or that they've been energized by something? Do you feel that in the sexual energy?
Yeah, I can. But it's the same thing as telling somebody their door shut. You don't feel anything there. There's nothing really alive that's ticking or flowing. It's almost like somebody's heart stopped, but it's that chakra that was actually kind of shut down. And then there's other areas that explode with energy, like your heart chakra or your throat chakra or whatever. So, yeah, I am able to see, feel, and sense what energy is really pumping and what's shut down.
That is exciting. We have a caller from rainy New York City. Her name is Aisha. And Aisha, you're on the line with Belinda. You have a question?
Hi, Belinda. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
I have a question. I'm a very sensual person, and I have recently decided that, you know, maybe, you know, in the past it seems like my relationships were very sexual, and I wanted to attract someone who wasn't, I guess, who's sexual. I wanted that good balance, I guess. And there is this guy who I am, like, really head over heels in love with. But he's very reserved, and I feel like, in a way, like, I don't really know what we are, because we have not really labeled our relationship. We have never been physical, but I feel like I'm putting forth too much sexual energy, and I'm wondering, is that possible that I'm kind of, like, pushing him away? Do I have, like, too much energy for him?
Oh, I've seen that happen a lot. Yes, 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 and yes. And the thing is this is the important thing. You have to decide whether your sexual energy is way too much for people. Just like there's really people who are way too positive or way too excited all the time. You have to imagine, and I've actually went through this in my life, where I was blissful for a long period of time, and I realized how exhausting it was, because it's like having adrenaline rushing through your body the whole time.
Right.
So if you imagine your sexual energy is like adrenaline, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Or you have to figure out if it's just that you're not sexually compatible, and that it's really important to have every kind of compatibility you can have within a relationship, including that. So if you're not compatible, you need to be honest with yourself. But if it's just that you have too much for people, because it's always something that's kind of pumping through your veins like adrenaline, then maybe that's something you can tone down. But you also have to remember that you just said you were a sensual person, and then you said you're
right.
Very sexual, and they're two different things. So are you looking for sex, or are you actually looking to have a sensual experience?
No.
Which is usually
more
way more romantic.
Yeah, it's more of the sensual experience. Like, I'm a very sensual person. I mean, I do have a lot of sexual energy, I guess, but it's more sensual energy than sexual.
And somebody can take the sensual energy to be way too clingy. Somebody who needs touch and love and cuddling too much, or somebody who just needs to be around somebody too much. So, again, you'll have to see, is it too much, or is it just somebody I'm not compatible with? And my psychic feeling tells me this. It tells me that you're somebody who's not really used to being happy in a relationship. There's always something you have to fix in a relationship. There's something always a little off in a relationship, and that's what you've gotten used to. So that's what you attract to yourself. So the thing is trying to figure out why. Why is that something that you're always drawn to is something that has to be fixed? Mm-hmm. And once you get to that problem, you'll find that you can actually develop a relationship that's just compatible. It's perfect. It's happy.
Okay.
But that's not where you are right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I end up with these guys who I have to fix. Or, like, it just always seems like there's something off.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's about time that somebody took care of you instead of you taking care of them.
Right. You're so right. You're so right.
That would be a great switch.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Aisha. I appreciate your call. Rainy New York City. God, that's a beautiful city. I enjoy that city. It's so vibrant. When you go into a big city like New York, Belinda, do you get like this huge bombardment of emotions that you have to take a little while to filter out and kind of rebalance?
I think everybody has that kind of experience. That's not necessarily something I would say is just, you know, what a psychic experience is. I think it's cartography, something where they do astrology on where you should live, astrocartography or something like that. I forgot what it's called. And, you know, we have places that would energize us on this earth, and we also have places, what is it?
It's called REMAX. You see, I just used my money for the month.
That's funny.
Thank you. I couldn't resist that one.
So, you know, there's different places on this earth that are going to give you energy, and there's other places that are going to deplete your energy depending on who you are and what kind of magnetic energy you have around you. So, yeah, I would say there's sometimes big cities will drain me, but there's other big cities that I'm really drawn to. And like L.A., I was drawn to L.A. for a really long time. It was something that absolutely energized me, and now it's not. It's something that actually drains me now.
Right. Well, I spent some time in California, and I have to tell you that I missed the mountains. Didn't know what it was, why, what it was. I had no idea. I did miss the mountains. And
when you're used to clean air, it's really hard to go to a place like California where there's, you know, not as much clean air as there is where you are.
But I did love everything about Los Angeles. It was an amazing city. But when I got back to the mountains, now that we're watching you know, another snowstorm come through Calgary, and looking at the calendar saying, what? You see, we usually get snowstorms up until the May long weekend. So we've got, you know, a couple of weeks to go, supposedly before we get to the rainy season. So we're all getting excited out here in Calgary.
Exciting. Get away from the snow for a while. That should make you all happy.
Well, that's it. We get excited for the rain, and then we really enjoy the summers in Calgary. There are some amazing days, even though there seems to be less of them than there used to be. In my day, young man. It does seem that our weather patterns are changing. Now, let me ask you this, Belinda. You mentioned about magnetics and the right place to live and all of this. Does all of this change those frequencies slightly from region to region? Would a psychic from Texas be able to operate seamlessly in Arizona or in New York City?
It depends on what their frequency is.
Right.
Because every psychic is on a different frequency. So some might do really well in Arizona, where other ones would die there. You know, it's kind of like, I got to go, I have to leave, you know. Just like when I go to Fresno, California, when I'm doing psychic readings there, I can channel very easily. If I want a spirit to come into my body, it will happen instantly. If I want to speak in a different language so I can talk to my clients, it will happen instantly. Whereas at other places in the world, I'm like, why doesn't it work? So...
Yeah, I think our magnetic line has a lot to do with how we react and how we think. It seems, now this is just a layman's thought, but it seems that the world is getting much angrier.
I don't know, because I think the world has always been a pretty angry place, at least when they started having wars.
Right.
I think there's just more people. So there's more reasons, you know, more reasons to be angry, more people to be angry, and there's, you know, less people that are finding meditation and reasons not to be angry. So I think it's
right.
just, it's on a more, it's a bigger magnitude, I guess, because there's more people.
And probably because of, God bless the internet, instant communication, I guess, could fuel the fires of many.
Well, yeah, and our privacy is being taken away on a constant basis
yeah.
because of the thing called the internet and cameras everywhere, which is making people more angry. And when you have big cities like Los Angeles and New York where there's, you know, road rage and everybody's upset because they can't get to where they want to be fast enough,
yeah.
there you go. I mean, there's a lot more anger to be had.
So looking at the world in general and the psychic realm, And being a sex psychic, one question coming out of Twitter here is, do different nationalities have different sexual encounters in the psychic world? In other
Actually,
words, would they be
that's
strong?
A really interesting question. That's a good question.
Yeah.
The reason I'm going to say different nationalities a yes to that question is because there's different religious beliefs and there's different complete belief systems with different nationalities. And the first one I'll use is Native Americans. Native Americans believed in spirits traveling in the afterlife. They also believe that they haunt their burial grounds because you have to have respect for the dead. So you could literally build a city on top of an Indian burial ground and have like an extreme amount of hauntings where you can go to the Caucasian people and build a house over their cemetery and not experience anything. So if you're looking at religious beliefs and how they feel in the afterlife and the fact that we take our personalities with us, then even sexual encounters would be very different on the other side.
Yeah.
Everything's different.
So their deep religious belief you think would carry on into the afterlife?
It does. There's so many times where I speak to Native Americans, and they have some of the strongest influence on the other side. But they
right.
will continue healing from the other side. They will continue trying to help people from the other side. They still come across as medicine men and medicine women doing healing, whereas you could totally have a doctor die on the other side. And they're like, yep, I can't wait to go to my next life, peace. You know, but
right.
Native Americans may stay around for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years to help. Very different depending on the belief system.
I have Aisha stayed on the line. Her hand is still up, and I only gave her one question, so I'm going to give her another question. So she's running to the phone, scrambling to the internet. Aisha, your line is open with Belinda. Did you have another question for her?
No, I didn't actually.
Okay. All right, my girl. Well, I just put you back on hold and have you listen. That's more than fine. So, Belinda, where do we go from here with 6 minutes remaining? What have you got up your sleeve for the summer season and the fall?
You know, I don't have much up my sleeve except for I am going to actually go to New York. Funny you should say about a big city like New York because I've actually never been there. I'm going to New York this summer for, have you heard of Lilydale?
Yes, I have, yes.
Yeah, the HBO special, Nobody Dies in Lilydale. They have a children's week. So I was going to take my daughter there and spend the week in Lilydale, New York, and experience. You know, it, for people who don't know, it's a community of psychics and mediums. And they literally live
yeah.
in a gated community, houses on land and a pond with ducks and lakes. And I just want to be in that nature aspect of it and be around a bunch of psychic and mediums and see how I feel after a week.
It'll be interesting to see. It would be interesting to see how psychic mediums interact when everybody's a psychic medium. That would
yeah.
be very interesting to see the energies that could transpire in those gatherings. I often wonder, would they be capable of actually solving some of the problems that we have in this world? Because
I don't know. Because I used to do psychic fairs, and so there was literally 60 to 100 psychics And a lot of those people became my friends, and we would do things in groups, like meditate and try to, you know, heal our planet and do things like that. And when psychics come together, I've noticed a couple of things. One is that there's a huge energy dynamic that can be really helpful and healing to people. But I also noticed that there's a lot of damage that can happen because of it, too, because it magnifies the negative ones hugely and usually will expose them as well, as whether they're angry, negative, or not really a psychic. So it does a lot. It's crazy energy.
Yeah, energy, I think, it's the basis of our being. So it definitely has more abilities than we're giving it credit for sometimes, I think. I often wonder if certain people around the world have developed that gut instinct, that psychic ability to be able to maneuver, if you will, without too much hindrance. Because the more I hear about psychic connections, and when we talk, Belinda, believe me, you teach me a great deal of information. The more I hear, the more connection has to be possible in the very near future. We have to be able to unlock that door and use more of our psychic abilities, which have to be locked away in that 90% of the brain that we're not using.
Yeah. It unlocks very soon in the near future.
Now, I have to ask a couple of quick questions as they're coming through here, just so that the Twitter people don't Twitterize me again. Do spirits in sexual realm ever get angry at people having sex in front of them?
No, because they could leave instantly. I mean, literally to them, usually it's not a big deal, but you have spirits walking in and out of your room at all times. So there may be a lot of spirits that actually caught a glimpse of what you're doing, but usually they don't even stand around and stare because, I mean, they just don't see us the same way. We're acting things out.
Yeah, makes sense. Does rough sex invoke different spirits?
Yes.
There's another Twitter.
It does.
Yes.
Very good question. It does. You know, people who are especially have a dysfunctional nature when it comes to sex, and they're bringing themselves to the edge of death, things like that, they're going to have very different spirits than two people who are just in the middle of making love, per se. So,
well, personally, I think anybody that tries the autoerotica or whatever it's called, where you put a plastic bag over your head and choke yourself out, you know, you got to be pretty desperate for a good feeling.
Yeah, very.
And I mean, that's pretty far. Belinda, I can't believe it, but we've banged through 90 minutes already. I have to tell you, it's always a pleasure having you with us. Now, it's BelindaBentley.com for North America, South America, and for UK, it's BelindaBentley.co.uk. So go there and check out what Belinda has to say. Belinda, once again, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure doing your show.
We'll talk to you again at another time and as soon as possible, I hope.
Okay.
Blessings on your household. Ladies and gentlemen, Belinda Bentley, it's always a pleasure. And I always enjoy going over on time with Belinda because her information is exact and honest and affordable to understand. I like that.
Hey guys, got a minute? You know, I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. And but for the grace of God go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.
This has been a Night Talk production in association with Terra Chat Networks and BlogTalkRadio.com. Blessings on your household.